Deborah Shore is the commissioner, one of the commissioners, of the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago. We're happy to have, as I said, Deborah Shore in the studio and on the phone in just a second, Representative Elaine Nekritz from the 57th District of Illinois. Hi, Representative Nekritz. It's Mike Novak.
Hi, Mike. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Thank you so much for being on the show. And Deborah Shore is here. Say hi, Deborah.
Good morning, everyone.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
You guys know each other a little bit, don't you? You've worked together on various things.
A little.
But let's start right out of the gate here about House Bill 4659. It is a bill that is, as you've mentioned, is in committee right now, and it would help folks deal with rain events. And we've talked about on this show before, and this is one of the chief jobs of Commissioner Shore, of course, is to deal with rain events in the Chicago area. And can you explain, Representative Nekritz, how this would benefit folks who are victims of these all too common now? Once, you know, we used to talk about once in 500 year events, and actually, Deborah Shore, you've talked about that on my show, a once in 100 year event, and what it means. We'll get into that in a second, but let's talk about the genesis of that bill. And Representative, if you could start, thank you.
Sure, the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District has really been on the forefront of trying to figure out ways to reduce flooding and mitigate the impacts of the severe rain events, as you mentioned. They've done a lot of work and maybe about as much work as they can do in the public arena, in the areas that they have, on the streets and the deep tunnel and the quarries and all kinds of things that they've been able to do in the public, where they have access to public property. There's a lot of rain, though, and infiltration and water coming from private property. And that, while it has a huge impact on their system, they don't have the ability to impact and try to reduce that right now. And so the goal of the bill is to create a cost-sharing program with municipalities that will then allow private property owners to take advantage of some dollars and improve and prevent water from coming off private property and private residential property into the sewers and overtaxing them.
And you've had to work with MWRD on putting this together. How did that collaboration happen?
I have worked with the MWRD almost my entire tenure in the legislature. I represented previously a district that was cut in half by the Des Plaines River, so flooding was a huge issue in my district. And when I first took office, there was no one in Cook County who was trying to manage stormwater. So in 2004, I worked closely with the MWRD to give them management authority over stormwater. And from there, I've probably carried a bill, if not every year, at least every other year, for the MWRD to try to give them more tools to deal with all the jobs that they have.
And this is Commissioner Shore. I want to say that Representative Nekritz has been a terrific champion, not only for the people in her district, but throughout Cook County, by helping to shepherd and pass legislation that is expanding the district's authority to include the ability to partner with municipalities to buy out willing sellers in flood-prone areas, and we've begun doing that, and to expand the suite of tools in our toolbox.
Are we making headway in that regard? We've talked on this show before about, our friend Sarah Batka said, what did she call it, climate? Global weirding. That's it, global weirding. And we are in the middle of this, and we have these events. I have to tell you, I'm your constituents. I don't live in your area, Representative Nekritz. I'm in Chicago, so I'm under the purview of the MWRD, of course. And I can tell you that in the last several years, I've had issues with water in my basement. And it kind of started when they fixed the water mains in the street. All right, and I imagine that happens a lot. But the point is, if you look at the Center for Neighborhood Technology is doing in their Rain Ready program, they point out, and you know this, Commissioner Shore, that you don't have to be by the Des Plaines River to have flooding. We have created landscapes now where things run off, that they're impermeable, and you can flood almost anywhere in a major metropolitan area, and you don't have to be near a body of water. So that's got to mean that we really have to address this and expand to everybody. And how do we get those people on board? How do we make them aware of what they have at their disposal, laws like this?
Mike, you're exactly right that things are changing, and it's due to a number of things happening all at once. The sewers that lie under our city streets are owned and maintained by each municipality, and they were laid down 50, 60, 70 years ago with a design to handle a storm the size of happens once every 5 years or a 1 in 5 times chance of happening every year. And beyond that, they're either going to fill up and back up into our basements or overflow directly into a river or stream. Those are combined sewers that Chicago and 50 of our older suburbs have. But we're also seeing more intense rainstorms, and that, I believe, is a symptom of climate change, that are dumping enormous amounts of water in a very short period of time in a short and limited area that overwhelms the capacity of our sewers to capture this water and convey it to the treatment plants. And we're building out our landscape. We're paving over backyards. We're adding additions to our homes. We're tearing down older homes and building bigger ones, all of which is displacing more water during rainstorms into these sewers.
That's actually a really good point, and maybe Representative Nekritz could address that, which is, are we causing even more problems by changing the footprint of the buildings we have, and that is to say, putting McMansions on lots that were never meant to hold them?
I couldn't agree more with Commissioner Shore that is part of it, we've got parking lots and decks and, you name it, with every time we make a surface impermeable and rainwater can't soak into the land, it runs off more quickly. And so as Commissioner Shore indicated, we overwhelm the sewer systems, and that creates backup and floods and all the symptoms that we are seeing from that.
So you've got this bill, and this is going to enable the MWRD to help people. How would they approach you if this passes, Commissioner Shore?
So the goal is to be able to add another couple of tools to the things that the Water Reclamation District can do to partner with municipalities and those that are interested and willing to do some cost sharing with local homeowners to install prevention programs like an overhead sewer or a backflow preventer, but also to install cisterns that would capture rain off of roofs and keep it out of the sewers, giving them more capacity to do their job.
Would that also include a pump to get the water out of the cistern?
Presumably. It hasn't been designed yet, and it could be done so in a number of different ways. There are now smart valves that can be installed that are tied into weather telemetry that can know when a storm is coming and release the water that's held in that rain capture system into the environment, mm-hmm. possibly into a rain garden or a permeable pavement or a vegetated ditch. And so you'd know you'd have that 2,000-gallon capacity distributed throughout a neighborhood mm-hmm. to capture water and keep it out of the sewers.
That's Deborah Shore, who's the commissioner for the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago. Representative Elaine Nekritz is also on the phone. Representative, it's one thing to deal with water in this urban setting where you might have a little backup. But as you mentioned, you've got the Des Plaines River there. The worst case scenario, it seems to me, is people who live on the Des Plaines River. You can't really address that, can you, with individual homes and fixing their water needs, can you?
All the things that Commissioner Shore just mentioned that impact flooding and the speed at which water flows into the sewer systems and causes backups there, I think are all the same problems that have caused the Des Plaines River to continually flood. The Des Plaines River didn't really flood until the mid-1980s. If you talk to the people that live along it, they didn't have any problem. But with the constant urbanization and some other things, that's created a problem. So we've been partnering with the MWRD, and I have to say that, you know, Commissioner Shore and the MWRD have been fabulous to the residents along the Des Plaines River and some of the municipalities, especially the Wheeling Park District, and building a fabulous facility there. But that is all, you know, they built some flood walls, but also trying to, you know, the kinds of things that we're talking about now will all impact the flooding in the Des Plaines River, because if you can keep the water out of the river, then it doesn't flood.
You know, that's really very interesting. What you're saying is we are our own worst enemy here in many ways. And it's something that I'm aware of, that we do, we build things and we don't really look to the future, especially in terms of our commercial properties where we have the asphalt paving. I'm always shocked when I'm in Chicago and I see somebody, there was a shopping center near where I live recently and they repaved it. And I thought, well, wait a second, if you're repaving it, why don't you take the time and make it permeable? Let's find some way to release some of this water and get it back into the ground. And yet there's a lot of the same old going on right now. This is also going to require rethinking and getting people to understand that you can't do things the same way you used to. And some of it's developers, some of it's private owners, but we have to move forward. And speaking of moving forward, again, the bill is HB 4659. Representative, you said that it's in committee right now, right?
It is. And Mike, before you leave that other point, though, I just want to say that Commissioner Shore has been on the forefront of exactly the kind of initiatives that you're talking about, and has been, you know, thinking about and pushing the MWRD to do some really creative things to try to get permeable pavement and to provide rain barrels and do all the things that are. Kind of small ball, but when you put them all together, they add up to very significant impact on the flow of rainwater.
All right, I want to get back to the bill though for a second, because the question is
it is in committee. It's due to be heard this Thursday before the House Executive Committee, and so I'm sure the representatives of the MWRD will be there to testify, and we're working the committee members to make sure that they understand the bill, and we'll be supporting it.
Let's look at the bigger picture here, and that is the dysfunction that's going on in Springfield. This bill is going to have a price attached to it, like a lot of bills. I mean, this is really important that people be able to mitigate the water damage and keep their homes safe. And yet, it seems like it's almost impossible to get anything done in Springfield. What are your hopes for this particular bill and for the General Assembly in general, Representative?
So this bill does not have any impact on the state budget. The MWRD has their own revenue sources. They have not asked for additional resources in order to be able to engage in this program. So Commissioner Shore can speak better to that than I can about how that would work. But this bill has no impact whatsoever on the state budget, and therefore the impact that has no impact on it. I have no predictions on how what path will get us to breaking the impasse and resolving the state budget situation once and for all.
That must be a source of frustration to you.
Well, a significant source of frustration, yes.
I mean, it's a source of frustration to the average citizen.
And it should be.
Yeah, and it should be, yeah, because, you know, we sit out here and all we can think is, Will you guys just do your jobs, please? Can somebody, you know, can we get a budget passed? And I know it's very complex, but, you know, there you are in the middle of it, and just one legislator trying to make things happen. I will just speak for the people I know who shake their heads and say, this cannot continue. This has to stop. I don't know how that stops, but this is our feeling out here in Illinois. So,
believe me, I hear it all day, every day.
I'll bet you do. I'll bet you do. And you know, I'm not saying anything new here, but it's the first time I've had to speak to a state representative and say, hey, you know, what's going on, dudes? Okay, well, thank you so much, Representative Nekritz, for being on the program today. I want to let folks know that if they're interested in getting this bill passed, you can go to my website, look at this week's show. I've got the link where you can write to your state representative or senator. It's a link that was set up by Rain Ready. They have more information about this bill, and you can fill out. They've got a letter written for you. You can pop your name into it. You can send it to your representative or senator. This is important stuff. I mean, it's not pension. I'm hoping that our leaders can walk and chew gum at the same time, that they can address things that have been bothering us for years, but also address new things like this Rain Ready program getting folks on board with it and passing something that isn't on the front pages every day. And that's why you're on the show today, because somebody has to talk about this, and I don't think enough people do. Representative Elaine Nekritz, thank you so much. I hope we talk again very soon.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you, Elaine.
And that leaves you in the studio, Deborah Shore, because this is not the only issue that we want to talk about. But this is an important one, and I'm glad to see that this is happening. So when it was actually Harriet Festing from CNT who sent me the information, I went, yeah, I'll do something on this. I want to do this. But the other thing that you called my attention to the other day was pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceutical. I get that question actually at Garden Talks about our water system, and because when, for instance, if I'm talking to people about Milorganite, which is a biosolid, fertilizer regulated by the EPA, the only one in America actually regulated by the EPA, for those who don't know that Milorganite is, and they've been a sponsor of mine for years, and Deborah and I have had these conversations in the past about biosolids, and unfortunately in Chicago we have a bad history, and people remember the 70s. They remember those products that were foisted upon them, and they were bad. We're smarter than that now. And the MWRD is coming around, and people like the Milwaukee District, which produces Milorganite, it's human waste, okay? There's no other way to say it. It comes out of our water, but it's treated with bacteria. It's fired in a furnace. They have figured out how to get rid of the heavy metals. But people ask me, what about pharmaceuticals? And I say, that's a really good question, because there's really no way to filter out pharmaceuticals, is there, Deborah?
No, there's not, Mike, and thanks for asking. Everywhere I go to, people ask me, what should I do with my unused or expired medicines? I know that I shouldn't flush them down the toilet, and indeed you should not flush.
Oh, please don't do that,
any medicine
ever.
Down the toilet or pour it down the drain, though we used to be told to do that. But now scientists are finding minute amounts of a whole range of compounds and chemicals in drinking water and in the water that's coming into sewage treatment plants, and we can detect them, but we can't remove them. And some studies are beginning to show detrimental effects on fish and other aquatic life that live in these waters full time. And so I've been promoting, and our agency is promoting, an expansion of safe, secure drug collection sites so people can dispose of their unused and expired medicine, whether they're prescription drugs or over-the-counter drugs, in a safe way, and so they don't accumulate at home.
One of the things that makes this difficult is the minute quantities we see. Folks say, well, what about the pharmaceuticals? And I have talked to scientists who say, well, when you look at the actual parts per million, they're quite small. But if we continue to do this, the population is only getting greater. And if people don't understand that they shouldn't be flushing these things away and pouring them down the sink, there will be more and more of this in our water supply. And we don't know what the tipping point is. Cumulative. Yeah. Well, as Bill says, it's cumulative. So answering the question now, it's like, well, am I going to be affected by this now? I would dare say it's really impossible to say at the moment, but it's not a good trend to have us putting pharmaceuticals in our water supply.
I agree, though I would also caution that detection does not equal risk, that just because we can measure these doesn't mean they're currently a risk to human health. They're in the parts per billion and parts per trillion, which is why we can't remove them at a sewage treatment plant. The cost would be astronomical.
More imperceptible than I said. I was saying parts per million.
Right.
You're saying billion and trillion.
Correct.
And yet you're still concerned about that. So obviously the scientists you've talked to say this is an area of concern.
Well, and I think there are several other pieces of this, Mike. And the first and foremost is public safety, because when people don't know what to do with their medicine, they accumulate at home. In fact, I've heard that you have a drug dealer in your home and it's your medicine cabinet. And what happens is these accumulation of drugs become a risk to seniors who may accidentally mix compounds, to young adults and teens who rifle through medicine cabinets looking for drugs. It's been documented that 50% of the people who become addicted to heroin started through prescription drugs. And we've seen a dramatic increase in emergency room admissions and in overdoses due to prescription drugs. So the goal is to find safe, secure, and accessible ways for people to dispose of their drugs so they don't accumulate at home.
When you're talking about these drugs, there are drugs and there are drugs. I mean, there's Vicodin and then there's Robitussin. Are they all in the same group? Should they all be treated the same way? Or?
Well, they should all be disposed of safely.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe we want any of them getting into our waterways and our water supply, because we don't know how they interact when they are dumped into waterways. We may take a single drug in our bodies, but when they are excreted or flushed down the toilet, they get mixed in our environment. And so I would say don't put them in our waterways. Promoting a safe collection program is part of the answer. We also have to address how drugs are prescribed, how they're designed, so that our bodies absorb more and don't excrete.
Well, that's also part of what you're trying to do here is, and I posted this again at mikenovak.net, you are also having a National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day on Saturday, April 30th, and three of the MWRD sites will be places where people... So, you know, folks will say, well, what do I do with my drugs? Well, save them up for this month and, you know, put them all in that box and just take them in. If you haven't used them in, you know, 2 years, you're probably not going to use them now. At 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Calumet WRP, that's 400 East 130th, Street in Chicago, at the Stickney, 6001 West Pershing Road in Cicero, and O'Brien at 3500 Howard Street in Skokie. So from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., people can just bring those drugs and they'll be disposed of properly.
Thank you, Mike, for bringing that up. And it's not only at several locations that the Water Reclamation District owns and participates in, but this is a national drug take-back day sponsored by the Drug Enforcement Administration. You can go to their website, type in your zip code, and it will list collection sites near you. Many municipal police departments or public health departments or village halls are also collection sites, but it's only from 10 to 2 on that Saturday, April 30th.
Yeah, otherwise, but that's part of why you're here too, because you're trying to get this ordinance passed, item 16-1983, governing the safe disposal of pharmaceuticals. And how would that work?
So currently there are approximately 80 collection sites in Cook County. 23 of them are at police stations in the city of Chicago.
So not every police station is a site?
No, not at all.
Okay.
And Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart several years ago saw the need to expand a collection program from the public safety angle, and he has installed collection sites at suburban courthouses, at the Cook County Court Building, and this measure that's been introduced to the Cook County Board would build upon and expand this program that Sheriff Dart has already administers and expand collection sites throughout the county so that there are no what might be called collection deserts, places where people live where there's no readily accessible site. It would also enable us to expand sites to some pharmacies, to hospitals and clinics, and would require the manufacturers to pay for the cost of this collection program.
How are the manufacturers about that? That's always an issue because we talked just the other week on this show about electronics recycling in Illinois. And the manufacturers, that law was set up so that the manufacturers would pay for it. And they've managed to, they're paying for some of it. And some of, there was some good. And now there's kind of backsliding because they reached their quotas earlier in the year. And then there's no money to finish the electronics recycling. What about pharmaceuticals?
Well, this is building on programs that have already been successfully implemented and adopted in California. In a number of counties there and in one county in Washington State, the costs are actually fairly minimal. It was estimated in Alameda County it would be about a penny for every $10 of a prescription. And the
That's outrageous. I'm not paying that. A penny for every $10?
The ordinance, I would add, specifically prohibits manufacturers from adding the cost of this collection program
to the cost of the pharmaceuticals.
But we think it's minimal, and it is also fair and would lead to a much improved public safety, public health, and environmental protection.
Yeah. By the way, that is Deborah Shore, Commissioner for the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District. We only have a few more minutes, but I should get the number out there, 312-985-7834. 312-985-7834 if you have a question about any of this. I want to let folks also know that I posted the information about that ordinance that you just talked about that would give people more opportunities to recycle, I guess, their pharmaceuticals. There's a list of commissioners that who are not yet sponsors of the ordinance. And you can call them. Would you advise people to call all the commissioners or just their own particular commissioner?
I think it would help to call all the commissioners. I do believe that the chief sponsor may be making some modifications to the
And who is the chief sponsor?
Commissioner Larry Sufferton.
Okay.
But those will be posted shortly, and we anticipate this may be taken up in May or June by the Cook County Board. It will really help to promote national leadership in this arena of extended producer responsibility and to really provide safe options for Cook County residents to dispose of their medicine.
Well, it just makes so much sense. Again, it's like the law, the state law we're talking about with Representative Nekritz. It just makes sense, you know, and it's nice to get common sense laws passed, and sometimes those are the hardest ones to get passed.
Mike, if I may just add one other thing, many of the producers are suggesting people should mix medicine with coffee grounds or kitty litter and throw it out in the trash. That's still will contaminate our waterways, our groundwater, or our rivers and streams because we can't remove it at the treatment plants. And these compounds will eventually leach out of landfills.
Yeah, that's a really good point, is because folks say, there are folks who tell you, well, you know, all landfills are lined. Yeah, but you know, other people will tell you all landfills will eventually leak. They will leach contaminants at some point. And it shows a profound misunderstanding of how, well, physics works. If you think that you can take these medicines and throw them into a pile of dirt and have it rained on and other things come down and it won't end up back in our water supply. No, it will, absolutely. So that's a really good point.
And even the lined landfills, Mike, that leachate gets conveyed through sewers to a treatment plant where we can't remove these chemical compounds.
Right. Okay. Before I let you go, I also noticed in something you sent out recently, you talk about the disinfection of our water, which is finally happening after, lo, these many years. I know it's a thing that you were fighting for. Give us a really brief history of that and where we are at the moment.
So this recreational season, which began in mid-March, two of the district's largest sewage treatment plants, the Calumet plant on the south side of Chicago and the O'Brien plant in Skokie, have begun disinfecting the treated water that flows through those plants, which means we've added an additional treatment step to kill the bacteria and other pathogens that remain in the treated water before that water is discharged into the CalSag channel or into the North Shore channel.
And this is something we started in 2011, right? Where we...
The board voted to adopt disinfection at these two plants in 2011. We were able to install the facilities for less than $100 million when prior leaders were projecting it would take $1 billion. And
that was the big scare all along. It was like, oh no, we can't afford this. We can't possibly afford this. And meanwhile, people are out in their kayaks and their canoes in the Chicago River. That's not good. It's not a good combination. And we were told for many, many years, and the MWRD was one of those people who said, there's no way we can afford this. But yes, Ashley, sure.
I was going to ask, what is your thoughts on designing biodegradable pharmaceuticals and kind of where they're at with that?
I don't know where they're at with that, mm-hmm. but I think we'll see a lot of innovation in how drugs are mm-hmm. designed and possibly drug removal systems in our toilets mm-hmm. that may be able to disable whatever compounds we excrete, and changes in how drugs are prescribed. We're already seeing that with prescription opioids, mm-hmm. All of ways to address what we take and our bodies excrete. But I should also note that one of the major drug companies, two of the new drugs they're working on are for pets to address sleep problems mm-hmm. with dogs and obesity. So as we have an aging population and care deeply for our pets, we're giving them a lot of drugs too.
Oh, dear. Oh, we're going to have all our dogs hopped up on stuff as well, and our cats probably. Very quickly, back to the disinfection, though. So the MWRD voted on this 2011, and it's interesting because I was at a talk by Carl Zimmering, who wrote a book recently. He's was at Roosevelt and helped start the Sustainable Studies Department there, and now he's in New York. He wrote a book about environmental racism in America, and I'm going to have him on the show to talk about that. But he was talking about part of that is this idea that, you know, we had this river flowing through the city and we wouldn't do anything to disinfect it. And he said, yeah, I think it's being done. I think it's been, he had no idea, and the people, nobody in the room, they were a lot of smart people, had no idea that, and I was there sitting on my smartphone because I went, wait a second, I think this is going on right now. And this is what you're saying. It's just happening for the first time in 2016 for this season that is going into effect, right?
We started it a year ago or last September at Calumet, but the Northside plant at Howard and McCormick went online in March.
Wow. And it won't really change things when we have overflow right? Because the bacteria will still get in there. But on dry days, we should see the levels go down significantly.
We have already seen that, and we're measuring what's coming out of the plant, and the levels of the bacteria are way below even what the permits require.
It smells better.
It smells better? Are you near a river, Bill?
We're close to it.
All right, so Bill Turk's near the river, and he says it even smells better.
Well, that's terrific,
too. I mean, there's your constituent right over there. You should talk to him before you walk out of here. Deborah Shore, thank you so much for coming by. It's always great to have you on the show. And how do you like the new digs here? Here we are at Q4. It's revolution is in the air.
I'm home wherever you are, Mike. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. And any final words that you have before we head out?
No, I think your listeners should be aware that the Water Reclamation District is doing many positive and progressive things. You've heard about several of them this morning. Just want to thank you for your support and encouragement.
Anytime. She sends me the newsletters, and they're about the most interesting newsletters I get. And I have a feeling you're actually behind writing some of that stuff. It sounds like you when the stuff. And that's one of the things that I like about Deborah Shore is she ain't just a politician. She's an environmentalist who became a politician. That's a big difference, okay? I've seen politicians become environmentalists, and that's a good thing. But it's really great when it happens the other way around. So we will talk again soon.
You bet.